Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. And this is number 30 in our Scripture 101 Essentials series. And we're asking the question, who is Jesus Christ in this portion of our series? Now, if you're joining us for the first time, let me recommend that you go back and start with number one, because we've been building logically in this series. And if you just join us now here in number 30, you're going to miss a lot of background information, and you might have a lot of questions that have already been answered. So let me recommend that you go back and start with number one. But if you want to just keep on listening here, you're more than welcome to join us. Welcome aboard. One other thing I want to make a comment on, I am in Valdosta, Georgia today. I think that's how you pronounce it. Days in, room 220, that's the headquarters for Sheridan Studios today. Yesterday I was in Murfreesboro, Tennessee in room 124. I forgot the hotel room name. Thanks for all your prayers to everyone. Yesterday I had a chance to meet with brothers Tony Smith and J.D. Fine on the way down, and they really soothed my spirit. It was great to be with these brothers, especially in this time of loneliness for me, leaving my family for a time. And so I want to extend my warmest love and thanks to Tony and JD for their fellowship yesterday. And I couldn't live without the fellow members of the body of Christ. So thank God for you. All right, let's get to the truth now. Have you ever read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Yeah, me too. I've read it. Love reading it. I'm reading through them right now. I'm actually in Luke. Now, did you ever notice when the Lord talks to his disciples about God, he always refers to God as somebody else and not himself? You ever notice that? I mean, it's obvious. Was our Lord trying to deceive the disciples by doing that? Was he lying to them? Was he trying to cover up something? No, he wasn't. And that's because he isn't God. Christ has a God and a Father, and he loved to do Father's will. That's why he always referred to God as somebody else and not himself. Now, Christ introduced the disciples to God. He established a relationship between God and the disciples. And here's the interesting thing. Christ associated himself with the disciples in that relationship. Christ prayed to the Father, and he taught the disciples to do the same. Christ was the sent one, and they were sent too. Christ obeyed, and he told them to obey too. I want to show you a passage that shows the contrast between God and Christ. Christ became a model for service, even in failure. That's right, failure. Did you know that failure is actually successful in God's eyes? Sounds strange, doesn't it? Well, let's take a look at how our Lord's apparent failure was actually a success. Turn to Matthew 11, and we're going to read verses 25 through 30. At that season, answering, Jesus said, I am acclaiming thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for thou hidest these things from the wise and intelligent, and thou dost reveal them to minors. Yea, Father, seeing that thus it became a delight in front of thee. All was given up to me by my Father, and no one is recognizing the Son except the Father, neither is anyone recognizing the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son should be intending to unveil him. Hither to me all who are toiling and laden, and I will be giving you rest. Lift my yoke upon you, and be learning from me, for meek am I, and humble in heart, and you shall be finding rest in your souls. For my yoke is kindly, and my load is light. Now notice it starts off by saying at that season. Well, what season? Well, the Lord had just rebuked the cities where he did most of his work, and yet they didn't repent. He worked really hard, yet they didn't repent. Now, that's hard not to take personally. It hurts when you aren't received. It hurts. And Christ had been doing God's work, and it looked like a failure. Service to God can be very hard, and that's because you love those you minister to. Even if you have to say harsh things to them to wake them up, it's still hard on God's servant. We don't delight in the unbelief or errors of others. It hurts us. But how did our Lord soothe himself in the face of this failure? Well, he looked at it from God's side. He looked at God's intention. He recognized that this apparent failure was only a phase in an ultimate success. Now, that's a soothing balm. That's why Christ acclaimed Father as Lord of heaven and earth. Father was even in this apparent failure. Father hid the message from the wise and intelligent. It seemed like Christ and God were working against each other, doesn't it? Christ was revealing and God was hiding. But all was going on as planned. And that's why Christ acclaims the Father at this time. Christ's work seems like a failure, but he was okay with it because it delighted his Father. You know, this passage has given me great encouragement. You know, one of the most misquoted passages in all of Scripture is Matthew 11:28. In the evangelical world, in Christianity, they use it as a gospel message, of course, because it has nothing to do with the gospel of grace. It has nothing to do with anyone getting saved. It has to do with service. In Matthew 11:28, when the Lord says, "Hither to me, all who are toiling and laden, and I will be giving you rest," they're not toiling in sin. These people are toiling in service to God, and it's hard service. That's the whole context here. The Lord is being an example of service here. How many times have you heard a gospel message where they call, it says, "Come to me, all you who are toiling in your sin and laden, and I'll give you rest." That's not what this is about at all. As once again, Christianity can't interpret anything right. This passage has to do with service. And A.E.K., one of the first comments ever read by A.E. Nock was on this passage. And this comment is so wonderful, and it will soothe you. If you have been trying to reach people with Paul's evangel, if you feel like you are a failure, don't worry. God may be hiding the message to those you minister to, but keep heralding anyways. Do what our Lord did. He heralded, and yet it was an apparent failure, but he kept on going. Let's listen to Brother Nock here, and this is what he has to say. It is this God consciousness, this recognition of his hand in all things, and more especially in that which is opposed to his apparent will, which gives his slaves' hearts ease and rest in spirit. When we see the success of his enemies, listen to the statement, when we see the success of his enemies, the failure of his friends, when his own are enmeshed in the delusions of the last days, listen to that. Shall we blame those who must bear this load as they toil? How hard it is for their pride to be involved in failure. He's talking about God's people who serve God in this era. How great the temptation to throw off the yoke and ensure success by methods of their own. Oh, that they would learn to yoke themselves to him, to bow humbly beneath the failure that is according to God's underlying purpose. Then they will acquiesce when he blinds, as well as when he blesses. Then the yoke will no longer gall, and the load will float from their aching shoulders. The false thought that failure is not of God and that success is his hallmark has led his saints to imagine that any flagrant disobedience to his will is fully justified if it only results in apparent success. Let us remember that he has characterized these days as days of apostasy, so that it is his will that many should depart from the faith, and consequently, great success may result in great loss to any slave who does not contend lawfully. Our business is to please God by suffering rejection along with him. Amen. This is Dan Sheridan. We'll continue this topic next time. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God for the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.